Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, is your soul plan going okay? How's life? Any complications? Well, maybe there needs to be some in order for our souls to grow. And we're going to speak with a man who just has recently two books published called Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. So we're going to learn about the stories that our souls have come here for. And I'm so excited that Robert Schwartz can be back on our show again. Rob, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be back.
And I want to ask you specifics about different things that happen in our lives that we think are terrible accidents. It could be, a car accident or, some tragedy like that. But there are also other accidents that I think are really disconcerting. And I'd like to actually focus on that first. And that has to do with abortions, miscarriages, stillbirths, things that are put us in great dismay. And we don't understand, and to the point we don't understand abortions, there's all this politics around it. Who are we hurting? How bad is it? They want to now make the fetus, a citizen and have all kinds of rights, legal rights as a human would have. And it goes on and on. So you've had a lot of experience working with people who have had these birth problems. Let's start with abortions, because people don't know when an appropriate time, if at all, is to have an abortion. Maybe we should never have them. Maybe they could happen at other different times during the gestation. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, let me begin by saying, for your audience who are not familiar with my work, my website is yoursoulsplan.com. And if you go to the books pages of that website, you can actually read large portions of Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift for free. The way that I research people's pre-birth plans was by working with very gifted mediums and channels and asking spirit, did this person plan this experience before he or she was born? And if so, why? Now, in the second book, Your Soul's Gift, there's an entire chapter about miscarriage. And at the end of that chapter, there's a special channeling about abortion. And basically what spirit tells us in regard to both miscarriage and abortion is that the vast majority of time, these things are planned by all involved before any of them are born. Very often, the soul associated with the fetus is a soul that's quite young, has not had many lifetimes, perhaps none on earth. And all they really want to do is dip a toe in the water, so to speak. They're coming here to touch in, get a sense of what it's like to be briefly associated with a physical body, and then they leave. So it's consensual on the part of all involved. You cannot kill a soul by any means, not through miscarriage, not through abortion. The soul is eternal. My understanding is that in the first few months of gestation, the soul is in and out of the body. So the soul comes in to get a sense of what it's like to be in the body and build a relationship with the mother. And then the soul returns to the other side and continues with the pre-birth planning process or other activities in which it's engaged, such as taking classes, studying for the upcoming incarnation. And then by a certain point in the gestation, several months in, then the soul comes more fully into body and is present more of the time. But regardless of when the miscarriage happens or when the abortion is conducted, it's consensual on the part of all. And even if it's not planned before birth, it's still consensual because the mother and the soul associated with the baby talk in the dream state when the mother is asleep. So even if it was not part of the mother's pre-birth plan, they're still agreeing upon it through these conversations in the astral realm while the mother is sleeping at night.
So there's a great understanding among our souls about what our conscious minds have no idea about.
There's quite a lot of truth to that. What we perceive through the conscious mind is really a very narrow sliver of what you could call ultimate reality. You know, the five senses are designed to focus you on the physical realm. And the reason it's set up that way is that by being almost entirely focused on the physical, it intensifies the emotions you experience here because you perceive that this is all there is. And if you perceive that this is all there is, everything that happens becomes extremely important. And because it feels important, the emotions are quite intense. A lot of the growth and learning that come from incarnating on Earth come through experiencing intense emotions, and even more so, learning to relate to those emotions skillfully. In other words, learning that you are not anger, you are not fear. You learn to witness or observe these emotions and not identify with them. And to the extent that you can create that kind of spaciousness between your identity and those so-called negative emotions, that in and of itself is a lot of the spiritual growth process.
Right. And I also believe having the perspective that you offer about our soul's plans and agreements, that gives us the big picture of why things are happening that we wouldn't understand otherwise. For instance, that if we lose a child, fetus during gestation, that soul who took up that body wasn't expecting more than what they got. And they just wanted to have that short experience and be out. So every soul that comes in to any kind of very temporary birth opportunity and doesn't fulfill it, it's already okay with that soul.
That's exactly right. That's exactly my understanding as well. Now, somebody who's listening to our conversation might say, well, you've explained why a soul would want to be associated briefly with a fetal body, but why in the world would a mother or a father or anybody else want to lose a baby? A lot of the learning on the earth plane comes through opening one's heart. And what I'm about to say may sound harsh, and I don't intend it to be that way, but there are many souls who learn best, who open their hearts best, by having them broken open through painful experiences. And if you are such a soul, you would come to Earth and plan something like losing a child in a miscarriage because it does break the heart open. Now, what is the value in that? Well, the value is we're really here to learn how to give and receive love. So to the extent the heart opens, you're more able to give and receive love. It's a painful process, but it's very temporary, especially from the soul's perspective. And it's very, very effective and powerful at teaching the lesson of how to give and receive love.
Right. And actually, I believe that the whole purpose of life is to come to a dense planet that has a lot of physical limitations and emotional, spiritual, mental limitations that we're challenged. And in the challenge, we seek greater light. We seek answers. We try to fix things. We might not call it light. We just want love or just being pain-free. But whatever it is, it's searching for answers. And in that search for answers, our souls grow.
Yeah, and I think you've made a very important point. A lot of the learning also comes through the process of generating questions and then deciding which ones are worth pursuing, because nobody can pursue the answers to all the questions they come up with. And then actually having the experience of pursuing the answers. That is a tremendously growth-producing, healing and learning opportunity. And that's really one of the things we've come to the earth plane for. It's all about generating questions, seeking out the answers.
Right. Now, one of the things that's going on, for instance, in the whole abortion world, is this need to save lives, to save the fetus's life, to save, of course, we all want to save lives the best that we can. But that whole concept has to do with the fact that we don't have an eternal soul. That we're, somehow this is it, and we can't die. So even the whole medical profession is based on maintaining life, no matter how little quality there is to it.
The thing that's important to keep in mind here from my perspective, from the pre-birth planning perspective, you know, the souls who say are evangelicals in this lifetime and who are opposed to abortion and feel that it should be outlawed, those almost entirely are very young souls. It's a characteristic of young souls to be very rule-bound and to believe that life is temporary, that there is no eternal soul. So that in and of itself is part of their plan for this lifetime.
Right.
Those people have a plan to be somebody who is going to view abortion as a negative thing. And we want this because this kind of contrast in viewpoints produces a lot of the growth on the earth plan. Everybody is playing a role here that was scripted before we were born.
Right. Right. This, the earth exists because it's a tough place.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so you've had experience working with so many people with so many different experiences in life, bad marriages, drug overdoses. What would you like to talk about right now in terms of what can help our audience from your experiences?
You know, the first story in my first book, Your Soul's Plan, is about a gentleman, a soul who plans before he's born to be a homosexual man who will get the AIDS virus. And in the research I did for that chapter, he and I worked with a woman, a medium, who has the ability to go into his pre-birth planning session and hear the conversation that took place when that plan was put into place. What we find when we listen to that conversation, we hear him talking to the soul who is going to be his romantic partner, the one who gives him the AIDS virus. And what they are talking about is that they view Earth at this point in linear time as a place where there's a lot of judgment. And their mission is to come in and do what they can to get people to open their hearts, to be more compassionate and less judgmental of each other. The specific plan they create is for one of them to give the other one the AIDS virus, and for the one who has the AIDS virus to serve as a teacher to other people, not teaching in the formal sense of conducting classes, but being a teacher in an informal way by giving a people a chance to put judgment aside and feel compassion in their hearts. This is why I made that the first story in my first book, because I wanted to get across this idea that, you know, we as a society, because we don't generally know how pre-birth planning works, we have all these tremendously harsh judgments of people who have certain kinds of experiences, the AIDS virus, homelessness, drug addiction, alcoholism. We say things like, these people are losers, they need to get their act together, they need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. The judgments around people who have AIDS are particularly harsh. We say things like, he or she must have been promiscuous, he or she must not have used protection. Some people actually believe that AIDS is God's way of punishing homosexuals for being homosexuals. But when you consider what is actually happening here, those kinds of judgments are really quite absurd. The souls who are planning those experiences are tremendously courageous souls. They're coming in and taking on challenges that most of us wouldn't have the courage to take on, and they're doing it as an act of service. They are here to model to us ways to become less judgmental and more compassionate. So, you know, if you're walking down the street one day and you pass a homeless person sitting in a cardboard box on the corner, if you have a thought like, get a job, that kind of thought really misses the mark, because it's very possible that homeless person was in your pre-birth planning session and agreed to be there at that moment as you walk by, so that you could have the opportunity to put judgment aside and feel compassion in your heart. That homeless person or that drug addict or that person with AIDS may be a very highly evolved soul, perhaps much more highly evolved than you. And they're coming in as your teacher. I don't mean you, Peter. I mean you, the audience in general. So when we understand that that is what is happening, it really gives us a magnificent opportunity to become more loving, more compassionate, more caring souls.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Because of your books, and also I've been on this path for a good part of my life, understanding our soul journey. I even did a regression back in between lifetimes. And I got to sit face to face with my higher self. It was awesome. But I need this information, as the audience does, to keep on forgiving ourselves, for one thing, for the troubles that life creates around us that we basically plan for. We're born to live out a particular template of personality, and including shadows that it has that repeat themselves in our lives. And why would we do that? I've talked to so many people over the years who say, my soul would never have done this to me. Well, guess what?
Yeah, the soul's perspective and your perspective when you're back on the other side is very, very different than the perspective of the incarnate personality. I think one of the main differences is that, you know, when we're back on the other side, we're very much aware that a lifetime here on Earth is quite brief. It's here and it's gone like a clap of thunder. When you're in body, especially if you're suffering, you may not know that. It may seem interminable, but from the other side, you know it's very brief. Also, another crucial difference in perspective, when you're back on the other side, you know that nobody is permanently harmed by anything that happens here. And I think the other difference in perspective, when we're on the other side, we know that the learning that comes out of an incarnation becomes part of us, part of the soul, for literally all eternity. So from that perspective, that a life is really very brief, nobody is permanently harmed, and yet the wisdom becomes part of you for all eternity. From that perspective, it really does make sense that somebody would plan a big challenge.
Right, and they don't always take it on. I saw in your book, at one point, someone said, no, that's too much for me. I won't do that, but I'll do something else.
Yeah, you know, it's all based on free will. Nobody is forced to do anything they don't want to do. Basically, the way the planning process works is that the plan is created by your soul in consultation with your guides, angels, ascended masters, and God. Then your soul informs you of what the plan will be. The vast, vast majority of people, as soon as they're informed of the plan, they say, yes, I would like to do that. And so it's put into place. There's a very, very small percentage who say, that causes me some fear or some anxiety. I'm not sure I want to do that. If that happens, if that's the response, your soul and your guides reassure you that this is for your highest good. At that point, the vast majority of people who express doubt agree with the plan, but there's still a very small percentage who say, no, I really don't want to do that. If you say that, then the plan is modified according to your request. So nobody is forced to do anything.
Right. And it's hard to imagine because there is incredible suffering on this planet, a lot of inhumanity, a lot of terrible betrayals, disappointments, sabotages, all kinds of criminal acts that you wonder, why would our souls want any of that? And,
Yeah, you mentioned that you had done a between lives regression. I want to talk about that just for a moment, because that is really a great way to answer the question that you just posed. If people go to my website at yoursoulsplan.com and click on schedule a session in the main menu, you can read all about what a between lives regression is. Basically, what happens is you start with a past life regression, and then at the end of the past life, you leave the death scene at the end of that lifetime, cross back over to the other side. And when you get back to the other side, you talk with what is known as a council of elders. It's essentially your soul council who oversee your evolution. When you get in front of the council of elders, you can ask literally any question you want and get an answer to it. So people ask, what did I plan? Why did I make those plans? How am I doing in terms of fulfilling my plan? How can I better fulfill my plan? Those are the main questions. But the council does an absolutely magnificent job of explaining to people, this is why you chose this severe challenge. This is what you wanted to get out of it. Here's where you are in the growth process. Here's what you need to do to finish the growth process. When people come out of the between lives regression, they often say, I have no more questions about my life. They answered every single one, and now everything makes sense. It's really an extraordinary experience.
Yes, and I've recommended it to people many times because a lot of times this subject matter is beyond the grasp of many minds. And so I say to people, all right, you don't have to believe any of us. Have your own direct experience, and you'll get the message.
Yeah, it's the direct experience that really makes the difference. You can read about other people's pre-birth planning in my books, but when you actually talk to your soul counsel face-to-face, that is a life-changing experience.
Right. But in the meantime, you can always pick up the books, Your Soul's Plan, Your Soul's Gift, and understand, you know, the nature of all these journeys of trouble. And we all have trouble in one form or another. So it's a complicated life. But the more we have perspective like this, the more not only it helps us, but it also helps others that we are contagious to. You know, your books are very contagious.
I've never heard it put quite that way before, but thank you. I know what you mean.
Right. Right. And so the whole idea is to have more compassion for ourselves. And the more we grow, hopefully the less struggle we have to come back for.
Exactly. And I think, you know, what the pre-birth planning perspective does is that it pulls people out of victim consciousness, which is the single lowest frequency a human being can be at. And it tends to be self-perpetuating, because if you believe yourself to be a victim, then you vibrate at the frequency of victim, which means you draw to yourself, by virtue of the law of attraction, more experiences that seem to confirm to you that you're a victim. The way to break out of that cycle is just to know that you're the powerful soul who planned the challenge. Even if you don't know why, just the simple knowledge that you planned it will pull you out of the vibration of victim, so that you don't keep recreating experiences of victimization.
Right. And yet our whole society is based on teaching us how to live in this limited conscious box that we have of our minds, that's based on the material world. And we're not given the opportunity to expand our consciousness in any formal context.
Yeah, you really have to, at least in Western society, you have to seek it out. I think Eastern societies may be a little bit different with the emphasis on meditation and so forth. But here in the West, the mind is king. And that is really not what the soul wants. The soul wants you to lead a heart-based, heart-led life. Let the heart set the general direction. Let the mind implement the details. But we have that reversed in Western society, and that, I think, is the cause of a lot of the suffering we go through.
Of course. And it's about to change. For instance, your books are out there, and there's so many enlightening books now that open us up to a higher consciousness. Books about, you know, spirituality, meditation, yoga, and all kinds of ways that we get to feel more of our multidimensionality.
And I think we're going through an ascension process. The earth is moving, as I understand it, from the third dimension briefly through the fourth into the fifth. And the fifth dimension is a dimension of unity consciousness. So we will no longer perceive ourselves as separate beings. We'll understand that we're all one. And then hopefully a lot of the suffering will end.
Well, the sooner the better.
Yeah.
Because I do think that it's taking too long. But then again, our souls knew the timing of it before we got here. So we knew
what
we have to go through. You know, it's fascinating to indulge in this subject matter. I'm so glad that you have these two books. There's so much in it, you know, a lot of information about all kinds of issues here. I just opened the book here, and right away a chapter on parenting handicapped children and how to have more understanding of, you know, because not only do handicapped children come here for their own karmic purposes, but they also, so much of it has to do with their parents.
And that's true of children in general. Children generally come in as their parents' teachers.
Right, right. They're the ones who open up the parents' hearts.
Exactly.
Yeah. And but it's amazing how brave so many souls are. And I think it's understood out there on the other side that souls who come to this planet are brave ones.
That's certainly my understanding, it is that, you know, it becomes part of your energy signature, which is a combination of your unique color and your unique sound. That's how you're recognized on the other side. Names are not important the way they are here. Right. So when you've had an incarnation on Earth, it becomes part of your energy signature. Other beings know that you are here. And their attitude, as I understand it, is something along the lines of, you went to Earth? Oh. And they're tremendously impressed because not everybody has the courage to come here.
Yeah. And most of us think it's the only place to go, but they don't realize. As a matter of fact, I interviewed a woman recently who brings people back into other lifetimes and often finds them on other planets.
It's an infinite universe, and there's an infinite number of physical and non-physical lifetimes that you can choose from.
Right. And so I'm glad that you and I have chosen to be here now in this life doing this radio show.
Me too.
Thank you very much, Robert Schwartz, the author of Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. And you have a website called?
YourSoulsPlan.com, where you can read large parts of the two books for free.
Wonderful. Rob, thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Steel again. Hope we can talk sometime in the future.
My pleasure.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Okay. Thank you.